Scarpins Audio. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of View from the Cheap Seats. We are recording this before I go out of town, so this is, you know, we try
to be a slightly different episode.
We try and be as current as we can with what's going on in the world of sports, but we're releasing this right before 4th of July, so Jay and I thought, what if we reached out to one of the greatest 4th of July athletes ever, like a true champ, 14-time
world champion.
Nathan's hot dog eating world champion. He beat Kobayashi to take
set the world record. At 76 hot dogs in 10 minutes.
Last year, I think he's got a shot to break 80. He said he's doing it in practice. We're going to talk to Joey Chestnut, an American hero, one of the greatest American athletes that we have, Joey Chestnut.
Look, we do one thing great in this country, and that's eat.
Overeat. And Joey Chestnut is going to show you how it's done. We're going to talk to him on this podcast. It's going to be great. And then later on the show, we have a great voicemail. But I want to talk just briefly about how we sort of came to competitive eating and why we don't think of it as a joke. We think of it as like a really real thing. So we initially came to it on Cheap Seats, where we did
I think we did the NPR thing first.
Was the NPR thing first?
I think that came first.
Was it really?
I think it possibly
maybe
did.
I can't remember which came first or whatnot, but around the same time we were doing Cheap Seats, we did a thing on NPR where we went and covered and reported with like sound and whatnot. We interviewed, there was like a competitive eating contest at the Venice Boardwalk at the beach there. And Jay and I
covered the event.
Talked to the Shea brothers. They were so funny and bombastic. They're like old school carnival barkers.
I think that came first.
Maybe. And we talked to them. We watched, like, we met Sonia Thomas, the Black Widow, who is neither black nor a widow.
That's true.
And some would argue not an athlete, but we were watching her. We're like, she is an athlete. She's tiny and that she's eating so much food. It was, I don't even remember what the food was, but it was just incredible. It was like scallops or
dumplings
something.
Dumplings or scallops.
I can't remember, but it was amazing to watch these people and then interview them and the crowd going nuts around them. But it was still kind of early on. I feel like over the last 20 years, Jay, the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, they figured out there's nothing going on 4th of July. Maybe a little bit of baseball.
Sports-wise.
Maybe a little bit of baseball. But at a certain time, everyone is sitting there watching. Now the 4th of July is not even on a weekend. It's on Tuesday this year. So they're literally watching or Wednesday or Monday or whatever. I don't know what it is. But it's like they're watching this competition. It's 10 minutes fast and furious. It's almost like the Kentucky Derby.
But more exciting.
But a little more. A lot more people can get hurt by this is what I'm saying. And if you don't eat the right food, if you do a bad job, you might get taken out back and shot. That's all I'm saying about this.
Yes. And we do have an American, there's like a moment where you're like, we should be leading in this world competition.
We have no American tennis champions.
No, that you won't. Male, certainly on the male side.
On the women's side, you do have some, but on the male side, you don't have that. We have some.
Probably won't ever win a World Cup as America.
No, this is where we got to put all of our interest, and we have a true champion in our midst, so we're going to talk to him today. We did a couple episodes on Cheap Seats, which were like,
and we get to know
favorite.
All the like players, Eater X and Cookie
Bad
Jarvis
Lands
and
Booker,
Bad Lands Booker
and Cookie Jarvis,
Sonia Thomas,
all these people. There were some really fantastic, like there was a time in the early days, which was like 1970s wrestling, where if you were just a big fat guy who was willing to get into a singlet, you could wrestle.
And there was times like that in the beginning days, late 90s, early 2000s of competitive eating, where
it's like if you're a big guy and you're just a guy who
eats
a lot.
Or you love to eat, you can get into this competition. But then Takiro Kobayashi, he came in and he was dominant.
He was dominant for several years. Dominant, and his reign was insane. I think he might have won 4 in a row or 5 in a row, Jay. You can look it up. But until Joey Chestnut came along and unseated him.
Takiro Kobayashi won in 2001, 2002, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
So he had 1, 2, 7. 3, 4, 5, 6. 6.
6.
6. 6 in a row. So he won 6 in a row, and then Joey Chestnut has now won 14 total, but he got beaten by somebody in one of them. Right. But anyway, just incredible. Like an incredible athlete.
He got beaten in 2015 by Matt Stoney.
That's insane. And I'm sure, and that was amazing. So like, you know you're good when someone beats you and breaks up your run of 14 in a row or 15 in a row, it would have been. And it's just the biggest thing ever. That's probably the biggest moment in Matt Stoney's life because he took down the greatest.
Joey Chestnut.
You took down Joey Chestnut. It's like the people who beat Gretzky in the NHL finals. The guy who beat Michael Jordan. Never in the finals, but you know what I mean? It's like you unseated the great. And so that's how wonderful it is. It just is really, to me, a fascinating sport. We're going to get deep into it with Joey Chestnut. We're talking to him next, right after this break. So we're going to just get out of the way, let you enjoy this. I hope you have a wonderful 4th of July weekend. You got a lot of fun stuff planned, and let this thing carry you through. Next week, we've got the music episode, the mid-year music episode with Logic and Matt Price and Jonah Ray. And that one goes long. That is a long episode. And that is super fun, giving our best picks of music that we found this year that didn't come from this year. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, Jay, we're going to talk to Joey Chestnut. And then later on the show, a great voicemail. This is a view from the cheap seats. Don't go anywhere. You know I'm no hard ass. And you know I couldn't be less. Hey, guys, welcome back to the show. And we are thrilled to have this guest on our show.
A world champion 14 times. I mean, he's a world champion in many different things, but in the Nathan's
Hot Dog Eating
Contest.
Which I think many people consider to be the Super Bowl of competitive eating. We'll find out. We've got Joey Chestnut with us on the line.
An American hero. Joey, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Great to be on with you guys.
I love it, dude. We've been following you. I would say your win in 2007 over Kobayashi goes down as one of the greatest. Was it over Kobayashi, right? He had won in 2006, am I right?
Yeah. I've been following you guys since I think you guys watched one of the episodes and commented on it.
Oh, yeah.
One of the contests.
Oh, yeah. We did a few. I mean, you know, we did talk about it at the beginning, but we've had like a close connection. We did a whole story for NPR about
Sonya the Black Widow Thomas.
Yeah. I mean, so many great eaters and just, oh, it's
Badlands Booker.
So Badlands, we watched some like from the beginning when it was like Badlands Booker and
Eric Cookie Jarvis.
Cookie and Booker to me could be like the new Rizzoli and Isles. Like they should have been cops who just ate their way through solving crimes.
Every stakeout, they just ate like three steaks.
But I think what's interesting for people who maybe don't know the competitive eating circuit is like you look at a guy like Kobayashi, and like he had like abs, he was ripped. I don't know if he was juicing or not, I'm not sure. And you look at you, you're like a normal guy. You're 6 feet tall, about what, 225, 230, is that about right?
Yeah, almost 6'1", 225.
Yeah, that's like,
yeah, I'm not extremely fit, but I'm fit enough to eat.
Right.
So what does that mean, fit enough to eat? Like what?
Well, I can run a couple miles. I during a contest, we're actually pushing ourselves really hard and we're eating and we're breathing. You have to control all your breathing during the contest. You have to sneak in your breaths through your nose. You can't breathe through your mouth because then you're not eating.
Right.
So the eaters that are bigger, who are a little bit hefty, too hefty. They get winded, and once you're winded, you're not eating at all.
So fitness plays a role in it on some level.
Yeah, to a degree. I mean, it's like Tom Brady being the quarterback. Is he really the most fit quarterback in the NFL? No, but he knows what he needs to do to be the great.
That's right, to be the GOAT. Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. I don't think people really understand how much strategy. You're talking about like seconds not wasting to get breaths in, because every time you step to the dish, so to speak, or the platter or whatever, like you're going to beat records that you hold. You're going to beat world records every single time. Is that what's in your mind when you sort of wake up in that morning and get to the thing? Because it is real competition.
Oh, yeah, especially 4th of July. There's betting on it.
Yeah,
and there's not only betting for the winner, but over and under. And
yes.
I think they have me at like 50 or 73.5 hot dogs, and second place is going to be in the low 50s. So, I mean, the people know that I'm always going for a record.
That's the Vegas line right now. 73. Is that what the line right now? 73.5.
I think so, yes.
Does that move at all? I mean, and what would, like,
what
if it's like weather?
Weather,
if it's really hot or what's?
But like anything, when people start taking the over too much, then it'll go up if people are taking the under.
Yeah.
If something happens to make people think that my numbers are going down, then yeah.
But you know that guy who owns like a car dealership in Texas who like bets like $1.3 million on the Super Bowl? Like he's bet so much money on the Super Bowl. Like what if he just jumps in and starts betting like all this money on you to go under or over?
Mattress Mac. Man, that guy's a madman.
Yeah, that guy.
you want to hate him, but then you realize you read up on him a little bit, and he's like a genuinely good guy.
So, he's a great guy. So when there were the big floods in Houston, Joel Osteen,
who was supposed to be a man of God,
who has this massive church and he could let people in and stay there, he like locked the doors and let him in. And Mattress Mac was giving out mattresses, like giving a place for people to stay.
He was letting people stay in his shop, in his showroom, and then giving them the stuff after their stuff was destroyed.
You want him to win. Mattress Mac, if you're listening, jump into this action here. All right, hop in. I don't know what stuff.
So who is your biggest competition as you head into this July 4th? Or are there rising stars that you're recognizing or like, wait, this man or this woman might be a formidable foe? Because you right now are sort of peerless where you sit, but is someone on the rise?
Yeah, there's some awesome eaters. There's Jeff Asper out of Boston, and he's beaten me quite a bit. He's beaten me a lot. So if he can put it together on the 4th of July and learn how to eat hot dogs instead of eating like a child. he really does. He eats slow, and he just doesn't figure out how to push himself.
Right. But he's beaten you. Where? What other competitions has he beaten you in? Like,
oh, my
wing,
God. He's beaten me in lots of things.
Oysters?
Chicken wings. Chicken wings in Buffalo was a rough one. I wanted to win that one so bad.
Right. So there's a few out there that it's almost like when you think about it, obviously.
Like the PGA.
It's like it's like golf. So there are major tournaments. Obviously, the biggest one, the Masters, if you will, is
Nathan's.
What else is big? Well, like the Super Bowl of Wings. What are the other big major events?
The big ones, but yeah, definitely Nathan's is the Super Bowl. Buffalo Wings in Buffalo is an awesome event. Yeah. We're in front of people who love buffalo wings, and in Buffalo love to eat.
That's a big one. You know, in Buffalo, it's so funny. Like
we made a joke about this on stage because we were performing Buffalo. People care more about their wing spots than their own children. If you saw someone and their baby, and you were like, "That's an ugly baby,"
they'll be like, "Yeah, but for 10 months out of the year, it's all
winter. We cover his face up.
You're not going
to
see it."
And then if you turn around and be like, "I'm going to go to Gabriel's Gate for some wings," they'll be like, "What?
Why would you do that to
me? How dare you?
I'm a Duff's guy through and through, or I'm an Anchor Bar. I mean, like, they really get proprietary."
Gabriel's Gate's pretty good. I like their wings a lot.
Solid. So is that your favorite spot in Buffalo, or are you not allowed to say for fear of, backlash?
Oh, my God. For some reason, I'm not the name of my favorite place isn't coming to my head right now. It's a little Irish bar on that one of the sides, but it's a really small bar.
I love it. I'm sure you
know. If it comes to you, hit it. But Duff's is a big one there. Gabriel's Gate. Anchor Bar is the original wing spot. But Gabriel's Gate was great. I have to admit, it was a really great spot for us.
Oh, yeah. We loved it.
So those two are big. Is there like a taco eating thing, or is there another one out west? Anything?
Well, yeah. There's a couple of other ones. COVID kind of screwed things up.
Yeah.
There used to be a really big Euro eating contest in Houston.
Oh, wow.
There used to be, my God.
Why?
There was a taco eating contest in Santa Monica, which was great.
Yeah.
But a lot of the other ones, they change up every year to year. I forget that there's a corn on the cob eating contest in Florida, and I've never done it, but it's been going on for like 20 years.
But again, Florida, they pretend like COVID didn't even happen.
Right.
Hasn't been affected by
it. No, but Joey, the eating corn on the cob is not like eating hot dogs. The truth is these are like totally different events. It's like if you were like, "Hey, I'm going to sprint the 100 meter." And then you're like, "Now I have to eat all this corn on the cob." It's like different skills, different mouth skills.
Yeah, different muscles being used even to different degrees. Some of them are capacity contests where our stomach is going to be really bloated,
right?
And the people with a bigger capacity are benefited. Other contests like chicken wings, it's speed and technique and swallowing ability. It just changes contest to contest.
I mean, I have to say the Nathan's hot dog eating contest is amazing. It comes at a time when there's no NBA. There's no NHL, there's no NFL, there's no college football, there's no college basketball. There is just baseball. People are at 4th of July parties, the TV is on, ESPN is on, and it's there. Like, it has
filled the spot.
Yeah, over the past 20 years has really risen as like the main event on Fourth. It's a tradition, like anything.
And
else.
I have to admit that with Kobayashi, a guy coming in from Japan and say in a country where in America we're like, nobody out eats us,
right,
bro? You can't come to our backyard and eat us.
He did.
Under
he
the
was
table.
Amazing,
and he did until you defeated him. In
2007. I agree completely. He's the reason why I took it. Like, I thought competitive eating was really weird, and I was embarrassed that I could eat so much food.
Uh-huh.
And I never wanted to do it in front of people. But
really?
But once I saw Kobayashi do it, I was like, well, he made it look kind of cool.
He did. He get carried in on the, you know,
he made
like
it look cool. And you know what? I think there was a need. Like, there was a vacuum for a hero, a hero from the United States to come up and challenge this guy. And it was you.
It was, yeah. It's so weird. He created me. Without him, there wouldn't be me. And
have you told him
that? Each other.
Yeah. Well, have you told him that?
No, I can't talk. He blocked me on everything. He hates me.
What? Why does he hate you? Dude, is he still eating?
Very serious competitor. And he,
why has
last
he
time
come back
I beat, we were I saw him we were in Singapore no yeah. no actually yeah I saw him once other but last time we ate against each other we were in Singapore and
who won
I won
of course you but, did of course you did let's not mince chicken and let's not mince words
no but he's an awesome eater and he had a falling out with Major League Eating and Nathan's Hot Dogs
I remember
so
that
he associates me with them.
Aww. It's like the live golf thing where he's like, I'm going to go branch off into this other eating realm. I mean,
I need to get the Saudis involved in competitive eating.
Yes. I
mean, awesome. Let's not get them involved in anything.
Oh yeah.
But it is amazing. Do people recognize you when you are out, or is it just a certain,
do restaurants give you free meals?
Or are they like, pissed when you're coming to town? Like the John Panette bit where he walks into the Chinese buffet and they're like, you go now, you know?
Well, usually it's always guys who recognize me.
Sure.
And they're always super happy.
Of course.
And it's really cool.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And restaurants, when they recognize me, the cooks or head chef, they always send out the food they're most proud of. Not always, but like a lot of the time. And it's never like, oh, you're going to eat too much of this. They might joke, but they love to see. They love to see a celebrity or somebody that they know.
I mean, you get the feeling
actually eat all the food they keep sending out.
That's yeah, right. Like Kevin Costner after doing Tin Cup, like could go to every golf course ever and would be like, just go play around. You know, like people were excited that it came in. So like on a different level, but the idea that this guy who is, that's how you make your living. Am I right? You don't sell real estate on the side. You're a competitive eater. That's what you do, right?
I went to college for a civil engineering degree and I worked in construction management and then the competitive eating took over.
That's amazing. So now you don't do any project management and construction anymore?
No. I'd rather piss glass.
That's so okay. So this is what I want to talk about that maybe people don't understand. So take us through the day and the morning leading up to this. How do you get your body ready to consume what's about to happen? Jay and I, as comedians, it's never a good thing for us. Like we have a whole process in a different way where like you don't want to eat too much before you get on stage because it makes you lethargic. You want to
be a little bit hungry.
A little hungry, kind of like your stomach rumbling a little bit before you get there so that you are fully focused on what you're doing. How do you prep? And then tell me what is the next day or two or three after like Nathan's?
Yeah, prep is it's kind of getting into a cycle for about 6 to 8 weeks.
Wow.
And so once a week, sometimes every 6 days, if I can recover fast enough, I'm doing a practice. And every practice, before every practice, I fast for about a day and a half, no solid food. I'm absolutely empty.
Wow.
And after every practice, I'm bloated. It takes me about 2 days to feel normal. And then I try to get back down to my normal weight. And then I start fasting again. And I can usually do it in every 6 days, sometimes every seven.
Are you worried about what that's doing to your body at all?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Jeez, that's why I have a concierge physician, does my blood work six times a year now.
Yeah, you're an athlete. You're an athlete.
So I definitely I like it. I like to get my blood work done. I like the doctor to tell me everything's okay. It means that I can keep pushing hard.
Yeah, dude, you should get that colonoscopy right before you do
it. Oh,
time.
My God.
You're
I
so
just got
clean.
Scheduled for one.
Everything's cleaned out. Everything's
Anima,
cleaned out.
Yeah, flush it
out. No, I do water colonics.
That
gets things out. It looks like Play-Doh.
I'm sure. Geez. And it's like, look, you got to think. It's like NFL players who get the massage get to the massage table after they play to recover what they're doing.
It's talking about Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, right. Deshaun, no, not that massage table. But it is. There are like things you have to do. So you're going to go to Nathan's. You're going to fast for the day and a half beforehand. So the entire day.
Yeah, going into the contest, I've been fasted. I'm empty. I can suck in my stomach and see that there's a cavity. Wow. And I can visualize a ridiculous amount of food
being in there. Being
The morning of the contest, I'm going to have coffee. No, but before that, like 5 in the morning, I'm going to drink about a gallon of water. It'll be my last water that I'm drinking, really.
Wow. Are you nervous about it being like, because, I mean, obviously, global warming, it is hotter than ever now.
So when I was younger, I was adamant about not drinking any more water later. I'll drink coffee throughout the leading up to the contest and just keep
a little bit of energy out.
If it's really hot, I will drink the water just because that's the only time when I really get sick.
Is if you don't want to pass out.
If I'm dehydrated, then I can't digest the food at all. It just sits in me like a bag of, I don't know, food. Bag of sand.
A bag of food.
Do you think, is there a way you could break 80? Is 80 the... Yeah, what's your...
76 is your record. 76
is the record. 76 is the record.
What year did you do 76 last year?
It's hard to say. I've broken the record in practice. Last year, I broke the record in practice a lot.
Wow.
So it's just a matter of hot dogs, conditions, me, the day of.
So say when you say it is hot dogs, what is...
How they're prepared?
Yeah.
How hard they are?
Oh, yeah. So, if they're prepared, so if it's really hot outside, and I don't blame the guys cooking, but the people cooking the hot dogs, they're kind of, I wouldn't say lazy, but they cook them real, real fast. So they're not really cooked that much. So they're a lot harder to eat.
Yeah.
If it's kind of cold and rainy and windy, they cool off and then they're like super rubbery and not at all tasty. Yeah. They're not tasty at all. So if it's not tasty, they're not going to be good.
Right.
So the perfect thing is like that 78 to 85, I'd say that middle where it's kind of hot, where I'm already sweating, where it's easy to get amped up,
right?
And the hot dogs aren't going to cool off. That's like the perfect temperature.
Wow, I didn't even think about that. And there's a woman has never crossed 50. Miki Sudo, I think she had 48 and a half in 2020.
I think she's crossing 50 this year. She's a beast.
So this is what I'm going to tell you. Okay, I'm looking at Coney Island, and I'm looking at the 10-day forecast from now. When we're recording this on the 20th, so we're close to the
forecast.
I know you need a 2-week forecast, but the 10-day is saying that the high is 81. Now, if they get into a heat wave after that for the next week, you might be screwed. But you can handle 81.
I can handle 81.
That feels like you're in the pocket, right?
Yeah, that's a good temperature for you to do your thing. I want
it's usually the same for everybody. If one person's numbers are high, everybody's numbers are doing really well. If the weather's affecting somebody, it's affecting everybody.
All right, so here's my question. It's a 12-minute sprint.
Oh,
right?
It's 10 minutes.
I'm sorry, 10 minutes.
Oh, they changed it back in 2008. Yeah.
Oh, did they? But it used to be 12. Am I right?
It used to be 12. They were worried that we were eating too much.
So 10 minute sprint. 10 minutes is a long time. Anybody who's ever tried to do stand up comedy, 10 minutes is a long time. But like, do you have, and are there people on your team like flashing numbers, holding up signs, almost like swimming? You know how like they stick that thing in the pool as people are like swimming towards the thing, you know, time to beat and all that other stuff. Do you say to yourself, okay, if I'm going to hit 75, if I'm going to hit 80, I have to be at 50 at X time. I know I'm going to start slowing down at this point. Like I have to hit these marks.
Yeah. I think, who is it? So there's a, there's somebody from Major League Eating who's telling, and he's not really a coach. He's just, I ask him to tell me the times. His name's Mike Sullivan. He's a sweetheart. And he lets me know the because the MC, the George Shea.
I love the Shea brothers are hilarious.
The numbers he says, they're like, oh, so-and-so's eating this
Yeah.
Or we're 1 minute in. He's always off. And so I can't go off of his numbers.
You can't listen. You got to plug those ears. People listen to music while they're doing it, right? I mean, there is a little
Some people
bit of that.
Listen to music. I like to hear the crowd.
Yeah.
The crowd gets me amped up.
Do they really? They get.
You can hear them. You can hear them as
like
you're
they're
eating.
Cheering oh you God. On. You're buoyed on there because they want to see you break a record. I mean, they want to see you win, and then they want to see you break a record.
Yeah, it's they want to see a record. They want to see a competition. They want to see us push each other to the limit. Yep. If they don't want us to go up there and play with our food, we got to eat it.
Why can't we get Kobayashi back? He's the perfect villain right now.
I mean,
he's what we need.
It would be
thing.
So great to see you guys.
He doesn't have to like you. He doesn't have to be nice to you.
No,
you can bring
the animosity. Like, you don't want the animosity, but if there is any sort of that's backstory to me, that's the whole thing. The Shea brothers would love that.
It would be insane. Oh my gosh.
They need to go out to him. So let me ask you: are you win money to win each competition? But is there? Are you on contract with the league? How does it work? Because there are no teams; they're in your individual players.
Yeah, play. So I'm only doing Major League eating contests. I'll do exhibitions and other things. I might break a record for a sponsor,
right?
Promote something,
sure.
But, as far as eating against professionals, I'm under contract. I'm in their league.
Great, and they take care of you. They're all good.
I've been really lucky with not only them but sponsors. Sponsors give me an appearance fee, and I show up and do media to promote their event and promote whatever product.
Great, great.
So I've been really, really, I guess lucky. I'm doing a big event for Raising Cane's in July 27th.
That is Jason's.
My son's favorite restaurant.
His favorite restaurant.
He has all the color hats.
Where are you doing it?
Oh, I'll be in Las Vegas. It'll be a 5-minute eating exhibition. I'm trying to make a new record.
Eat their tenders?
Yeah, I think it's Chicken Finger Day. So National Chicken Finger Day. I'm going to be eating chicken fingers.
Cane's,
like mad.
Are you going to dip it in the sauce? The cane sauce is the best part.
Well, I'll dip a couple of them in the sauce. Those things, they're kind of hard to eat fast, but I'm hoping I can eat. I'm just going to blow and go.
Let's take a break.
We'll take a break.
When we come back, we have a handful more questions for you. Thank you so much for your time. You could be eating right now, and yet you're sitting
taking
here talking
time
to us
out from eating to talk to
and gearing up for, you know, we're recording this now because I'm going to be out of the country. There will be people staying at my house, so nobody try and break in. Okay. But I'm going to be out for a while, and so we're doing this ahead of time, and this is just so fun to do kind of a different episode, which is really about this major event. Joey Chestnut, 14-time Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Champion. He's going for, he wants to beat that record. Jay and I want to see him cross 80.
I would say the Michael Jordan of competitive eating, but he's more like Oliver Miller.
Who?
Folks.
Bigger than that. Nobody's not. He actually is in great shape. He's with us. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll ask him more stuff. This is View from the Cheap Seats. Don't go anywhere. I'm with you too, cause it's time to go.
Hey guys, welcome back to View from the Cheap Seats. We want to mention a couple things. We have a live show here in Huntington Beach.
Yes, at the Rec Room, we're going to be doing stand-up. I'm so excited. A full set. This is our hour that we're going to shoot as a special. We're very excited about it. So on the 23rd of July, that's a Saturday night at the HB Rec Room, please come see us, all of our fans in Southern California. And then we just announced we are going to do a live Dumb People Town, our podcast, in Nashville at the Hutton Hotel in the Analog Room, which is incredible.
On the 13th of October.
13th of October. 14th will be in Chicago. That's the venue is to be determined later, but another
Dumb People Town.
Saturday we'll be in Tulsa doing a casino. And then Sunday night we'll be at the Bell House in Brooklyn.
October 16th, our triumphant return to the Bell House.
And the musical guest has been locked in. It is the band I love so much. They're called Cutworms. They're amazing. And
it's going to be a hell of a night. That might sell out. It will.
Beyond those, we'll put all those tickets links on our website. And then we've got the Nosebleeds coming out, which was our old Cheap Seats that Joey Chestnut referenced, our guest Joey, who's here with us, the old show that we did competitive eating episodes, but we're doing that version of that for UFC Fight Pass called the Nosebleeds, which will be out in August. They're going to put the first episode up on the UFC YouTube page so you can watch it in its entirety. Then you got to subscribe to Fight Pass, which actually is an awesome thing, and do that, and then you'll support us. So all sorts of good stuff. Joey, how can people follow you and support you?
First of all, I hope you're on Cameo. Are you on Cameo or something like that?
was on Cameo. But it got stressful. I got too many people ask for me, and then I felt like I wasn't doing a good job.
Just got to raise your price.
Raise the rates.
Raise
dude.
The rates, raise brother. The rates. Make it hard, and then it's so only the hard course.
If you raise the rates, then they expect even more work out of you.
You just tell them that. What do you want to do?
I'll probably go back up, back in it. It's really good to talk to people and hear why they like me, and then be engaging with them. But as far as coming up after this, my next big event will be the exhibition for Raising Cane's, eating their chicken fingers in Vegas on the 27th.
Is that at a Raising Cane's or is it another venue?
Oh, they're opening up a Raising Cane's on the Strip in Las Vegas, and I think they're gonna make sure it's live streamed and there'll be some news coverage.
Watch out, Jay.
On the Strip. I'm taking my son.
Chicken on the Strips. I love it. That's so great. So all that stuff and again, people can. Are you on Twitter and Instagram? And
Twitter Joey Jaws and Instagram Joey.Chestnut. I don't post too much. I'm not gonna. Be obnoxious.
Yeah, no, but that's great. People should.
You don't want a reversal of fortune.
There you go, the reversal of fortune.
Ooh, baby.
never good. Jay, you had a couple questions.
Yeah, so I want to know from your illustrious career, what is in your opinion, your most significant and most important win that you've had, and then what was your most disastrous performance?
Oh my God! Yeah, it's like. The biggest win, I think we already talked about it a little bit, is 2007, going into Kobayashi.
Yeah.
Were you nervous?
Were you nervous as hell?
I was more than nervous. Yeah. Everybody said he couldn't be beaten. Like I would tell the other Badlands and Cookie that I was training to beat him, and they would get mad at me like he can't be beaten. They acted like I was talking about beating God.
Right. You're like, no, you can't beat him. I'm gonna beat him.
So even my mom, she. And when I lost in 2006, she was like, "Oh, that little guy can't be beat." And I was like, "Dude, mom, you've never doubted me."
come on, mom. You're Kobayashi.
You had 66, and he finished with like 63 or 4, right?
Yeah,
he beat his record.
It was an awesome feeling. And like your whole life, everybody tells you if you work hard, you can do it. And that was the first time I was able to do something that people told me I couldn't do.
It really felt
good.
And now the reversal of that. Tell us a time where you're just like, I just didn't have it, and it was a disaster.
There's been a couple of them. Yeah. I mean, more than one.
Yeah, of course.
And there's
it's gonna happen.
There's usually a reason.
Yeah.
You're talking about not me just doing a bad job.
Yeah, or just not feeling it, or just feeling sick, or having to quit, or something.
Oh, there's been I remember I did a crab cake eating contest, and it was for a casino in Delaware. And casinos are notorious for not putting any energy into the food. They just want to bring entertainment to their venue.
Sure.
So the crab cakes were sitting out for probably hours. As soon as I got on stage, I could smell fish.
Oh,
so they were like really terrible crab cakes.
And you're like, I can't believe I have to eat these.
And they were foul to eat. And I ended up getting beat, which was like by like only like 1.5 crab cakes to Sony. Sony Thomas beat me. There's nothing worse than losing by just a little bit.
I know.
I'd rather lose by a bunch.
Yeah, losing by a little bit is like I'd still put myself out there and couldn't get there.
Yeah, and then that's the only time where I almost barfed on stage.
So you haven't in your whole career.
Never barfed on stage. That time I had to run off stage after the contest.
Get out of there. Get out of Dodge.
Usually if it gets down, it stays down. I could feel it settle in deep, and I'm in control over it. There's no need.
I bet you're more in touch with your body than like 99% of the people out there, because it's your business. You're more in touch with what's going into your body and how your body processes it.
I don't know about that, but I definitely feel very in tune with it. I can tell when I'm gaining weight and I'm losing weight, and I can tell when I'm sometimes ready. I forget to eat. So I was like, I think that feeling is I need to eat something.
I mean, there are those days when athletes are like, the morning of the NBA finals, and like Steph Curry's like, I'm gonna get 40 tonight. Like, I'm gonna get 50. Or Jordan famously said that, I'm gonna score 60. I'm gonna score, and Kobe, I'm gonna score 80 tonight. And they know, they're just, it's like the way they're shooting, the way they're jumping, the way their body feels. I bet there's moments where you're like, okay, this is exactly how hungry I need to be. This is exactly how empty I need to be. I'm laser focused. I'm ready to go.
I'm
gonna break a record.
Oh yeah, like last year. Last year the record was 75, and I was feeling perfect.
You knew.
I was feeling it was just tits. Everything was going good, and I felt the hot dogs when I got up there, and they were a little bit undercooked, right. A little bit hard, and so I was like, I'm not gonna let it bother me. Nope. I still was able to get the record.
I think you're going to break it this year. What is last question, and then we'll do for our Patreons. Maybe we'll tell. I want you to tell the story of your very first time. The very first contest you entered, and how you did, and if you knew that this was going to be it. So we'll talk about that for our Patreon fans. But the last question I'm going to ask you is: what to you, in a perfect world, would be the future of competitive eating? It's kind of at its apex right now, and it's
bigger than it's ever been, and it seems to continue to expand.
Every year it continues to be bigger than it's ever been. What in a perfect world, if you've thought about this, would be the future of competitive eating?
I think some sort of tournament style. I think eating this is very, very similar to like a tennis where there is eliminations. We start with people eating against each other with a certain food, and then that person's half of the field is eliminated, and the next day or 2 days later, it takes a while. It makes it like almost a week, 1 week format that it could take place. I think it could actually take place in conjunction with a golf tournament or tennis.
Yeah.
So a multi-day event that includes several people.
And you just said it. Sonia Thomas, what I like about it, Sonia Thomas, the Black Widow, beat you. Let's say there are crab cakes and they don't smell that good because of where you're at, and Sonia Thomas beat you. You're out. If the last event is hot dogs and that's your one that you know you can beat, you can dust everybody, you're out in the early round. Like, it forces you to have a strategy of some sort.
Oh, yeah. That would be scary. If I knew that somebody was eating their favorite food,
right.
There's going to be upsets.
That's cool. That's a great idea.
I like it.
The tournament of eating. That'd be so great.
The tournament of eating.
The tournament of eating. I love that. Joey, I'm very excited for you.
We'll be
watching. We'll be rooting for you now that we know you fully. I think we maybe met once before, but
I went to one of your shows in San Francisco.
That's right.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So fun. A treat to like have you on this podcast, and I'm just wishing you all the best. It's so fun. Again, it's like merging all the things we love, the cheap seats in our hearts, and then getting to actually talk to a person who has really been a champion of the sport. Top of the world. Patreon fans, we're going to talk to him about his very first competition ever. You don't want to miss that. Join our Patreon for that extra stuff, and we'll be right back after this break.
All right, Joey Chestnut, that was fantastic.
What a good dude. I mean, he could have been a civil engineer, Jay. Could have been a project manager in construction. This guy, it wasn't like I'm destined to do this. And he was, I love that he was embarrassed about how much he ate
at
the beginning.
And then he flipped the script on his own sort of feelings about it.
Speaking of script flipping, we got a voicemail here. Let's just check it out.
Hello, Jason, Randy. I'm calling to you because I'm about to make some big changes in my life. Now, I'm getting word that for some strange reason, the University of California, Los Angeles, and the University of Southern California are going into the Big Ten, formerly the Big Ten, formerly the Big 12, which has 12 teams, and it's called the Big Ten, but not the conference, the Big 12. It's now going to add USC and UCLA. So what that says to me, is that the Midwest is starting to become Hollywood. So I'm going to be moving to Lincoln, Nebraska, because that's where the industry is going. Don't get me wrong, I'm still going to be living in London, but I'm selling my home in Los Angeles so I could get a home in Lincoln, Nebraska. where the Cornhuskers are, and where I'm assuming that Christopher Nolan will be shooting all of his movies. And you can let Warner Brothers know that when they go there to shoot the next Batman movie, and they fire Andy Serkis, and they come to their senses and let Michael Caine be Alfred, I will be where they will be, which is Lincoln, Nebraska.
All right, that's the show. Happy 4th of July, everyone. Hope you guys have a safe and wonderful weekend.
Enjoy your families. Enjoy whoever you're hanging out
with.
If
the fireworks don't go off, don't peek over the side to make sure that it's coming out.
As Jason Pierre-Paul can tell you, get your hands away from the shoot. We love you guys. Punch a waterfall. And don't forget, get tickets for that July 23rd show at Huntington Beach. Once we, at the HB Rec Room, we'll put that up on our site, and then get tickets for all the other podcast stuff we're doing in October, and Ann Arbor will be there. All that stuff on our website, supersclars.com. We love you. We'll see you next week.
Star Bands Audio, a podcast, a podcast network.